with the sign of the cross on our foreheads, using a gooey mixture of burnt palm crosses from last year's jubilant Palm Sunday procession, and the anointing oil that was placed on our foreheads at our baptism. Deep symbolism that contrasts the reality of life and death in the context of our journey of faith, as we heard the sobering words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And on Thursday, remembering our mortality, we began our Machozen Challenge, our Lenten speaker series, committing ourselves to opening to a hope-postured and practical wisdom that our guest speakers have to teach and share with us. In many ways, by the Machozen Challenge, we too are being led by the Spirit into discomfort that comes from the resistance to the temptation to think that climate crisis has immobilized us, to think that God has stopped calling us into something sacred and collective in God's plan for life. Obedience to God's life-giving plan is what we, as followers of Jesus, live into today, and it is what the next 40 days of Lent is all about. And today is a significant day in the life of St. Mary of the Incarnation Anglican Church in Machozen. It is a day that we set aside in the calendar of our life together, and we reflect upon the last year of ministry together. We reflect on who we are as a Christian community of faith right here and right now, and we pause to listen for what God is calling us to next, to place our hope in things that are yet unseen. I think it is very appropriate that our vestry meeting falls on this first Sunday in the season of Lent. Today we begin our Lenten journey in the Gospel of Matthew with a newly baptized Jesus, fresh from the Jordan River at the start of his ministry and claimed by God as beloved. It might seem odd that this beloved child, named as God's only son by God, would be immediately led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Thanks a lot, Spirit. And this is unmistakably on purpose. One might think that this story isn't necessary because Jesus is divine, and surely his humanity is made of stronger stuff than ours. But this account of Jesus' time in the wilderness is both necessary and real. As real as the struggle that humanity engages with daily when it comes to trusting God. Jesus' trust and obedience to God is strong, but the temptation he faces is also strong. As Matthew recounts, the tempter comes to Jesus as an interrogator, asking a question that trips us up even today as human beings. The question is, can you trust God? It is the same savvy question the tempter poses to Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden in the form of a snake. He asks the same question, can you trust God? A proposition of temptation that tricks us into believing our own glorification is on par with the glorification of God. That's what Lent is really about. It is a spiritual pause where we ask ourselves, do we trust God? What does it mean for us to be tempted? And I'm not talking about resistance to chocolate or the resistance to not hit keep watching on Netflix when you're binge watching. Temptation, in the spiritual sense, is to be pulled away from our Creator by substituting the temporal for the eternal. We are pulled away from the purpose for which we are created, to live in God, to be one with God, to delight in God, to know or to strive to know the mind of God. Temptation also means to disregard the words of the commandments we have been considering during this past liturgical season, to ignore the fact that the Beatitudes of Jesus are indeed addressed to all of us, to forget to walk humbly with our God, to forget to love mercy and to do justice, as the prophet Micah urged us. All temptation centers at keeping us from the life that God freely offers us. All of this tempts us to think about ourselves instead of the interconnected life force that binds us and all life together. And even though we don't face temptation alone, we still find it easier. It's way easier to give in to it. Forgetting the promise in Hebrews in chapter 3, because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. It is hard to trust God, even though we know that God is with us and helps us. It is still hard to trust God because we don't know exactly what we are placing our trust in. Now, those of you who have been a part of this congregation a very long time, you know what it means to trust God when things seem very unclear. To trust God when we can't know what is next, and then what is next is to find ourselves in a long and fallow wilderness time where we have fasted from the kind of joy that we have known in the past. We who co-struggle in a life of faith know that there are ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and yet somehow, beyond all reason, we have witnessed God in unexpected places and people and circumstances that have brought new life into the wilderness, even into this congregation. But because we are human beings, we also know what it means to give in to temptation. It is so easy, especially if we're hungry, especially if we're tired, to believe that there isn't enough money or members, volunteers, interest, enough sound theology or Anglican heritage, enough integrity or faith. To give in to temptation means that we take the shortcut to salvation. This is what the tempter was offering Jesus in the wilderness, a shortcut to salvation. It means we step in and intervene with our fears and not our trust. We try to get to the good stuff without the faith in God it takes to be uncomfortable, to trust. It means that we rely only on what we do know instead of what we don't know yet. Can we trust God? We sometimes like to pretend that we are not fully human. We like to pretend that we know the will of God. We like to pretend that our hunger is God, instead of merely a classroom where we're invited to sit quietly, free from fear of death and failure, and listen for God's leading, even and especially if that leading takes us into very uncomfortable places and asks a lot of us. At his baptism, Jesus hears the absolute truth about who he is, the beloved. Now that was the easy part. Not one sentence later, after that scene of the baptism, we find this scene of the temptation. This part is much harder, the part in the wilderness, where Jesus has to face down every assault on that truth of being beloved. When the memory of his loving parents' voice from heaven fades, he has to learn how to be God's beloved in a lonely wasteland. One of my favorite writers and theologians, Debbie Thomas, she wrote this. She says, Maybe we, like Jesus, need long stints in the wilderness to learn what it means to be God's precious children. Because the unnerving fact is this: we can be beloved and uncomfortable at the same time. We can be beloved and unsafe at the same time. In the wilderness, the love that survives is not flinty or soft, salvific, not sentimental. Learning to trust it, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. So what does Jesus' temptation story mean for us as we begin our Lenten journey this year? What does it mean for us as we gather after worship as people of God to talk about our future as a congregation in mission for the sake of the gospel of Christ? Maybe it means we need to follow Jesus into the desert. Maybe it's time to hear the voice of fear and confront it and recognize its allure and its appeal. It might be easier to forget that our baptism means we're committed with and through Christ to a counterculture journey that others might not understand, that others might consider too political, that others might consider too embarrassing or too inconvenient. Jesus' commitment to the obedience of God for the sake of God's plan for all life, for all dignity, for all injustice, for all brokenness, for all the ways we miss the mark, for the ways we are fallen people, is very political. Make no mistake about it. Can we trust God? What if in this time and place, we knew, without a doubt, that God's claim on us in baptism was the real deal, and that all of us were beloved of God, not just here, but all of us? What if the Word of God was all the sustenance we needed to assure us of God's love for us and our love for the neighbor? What if we trusted without any doubt, that God comes to us and meets us in our vulnerable, hungry brokenness as we take the bread and the wine and we hear the words of God's incarnation in us, blessed to become what we receive in a world that is also so very hungry? Maybe it's time to decide who we are and whose we are. It's time to remember that God is still calling us into something sacred and collective in God's plan for the kingdom, even if we don't know what that is. But this is why temptation gets us, because we like to know exactly what it is that we are going to have hope in. But let's remember together, people of St. Mary's, we have hope in Christ, and the rest will be revealed to us. Lent is not a time to do penance for being a human being. It is a holy and sacred time to dare to enter into a space from all that distracts us from God's deep and abiding love for us. It is a time to embrace all that it means to be human, human and hungry, human and vulnerable, human and beloved. May the God who loves us even in the wilderness grant us a holy Lent and hold us tight into the future that God continues to unfold in front of us. And may we trust in that always. Amen.